Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and Ed Vitagliano with me. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim, and welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Fred. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Morning. I kept an eye on Ed for you.
Did you?
He didn't do a very good job.
No.
So what did y'all, was the intro the same last week, or did you have a separate intro, Brent?
No, sir. We got an intro. We got an intro. Yes, sir, for Ed.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's got fireworks going off in the background.
Fireworks. Here's the greatest host AFR ever had.
Yeah, good to be back. We had our annual family vacation to the beach last week. And, you know, our family now, we have our three adult children. They're married and they got children. So it's a grand total coming down to the beach from the condo. Is a grand total of 18 people. So the other people on the beach start to turn their heads back when we walk up, you know, going like, we didn't bargain for this. Okay.
Right.
We don't need a little army down here. No, I'm just kidding. But it is 18 of us now total. And so when we invade the beach, you know it.
So do you and Allison ever like tell the adult children, just go off somewhere. We'll watch all the kids at the beach.
Well, we have our own condo.
Yeah.
So we have somewhere to go when we get tired of the...
Oh, okay. You're separate.
Separate. No, we're not getting a house with them all.
Yeah.
Now, some people love to do that. That is not my wife and I. We love... Right. Hey, Ray. Sorry, Ray.
Hey.
I ignore
hey,
you, brother.
Hey, Jim. Hey. Okay. Tim, I have two questions for you. Number one, did you work on your tan last week?
Yeah, well, I'm fair-skinned, so you can call it a tan if you want to, but it's more red than anything, yeah.
Second question, you were at the beach. Did you actually get in the water, into the Gulf water with your kids?
Yeah, I got in about thigh high.
Okay.
Really?
I'll get out there. Yeah,
I'm pretty impressed.
As long as it's warm enough.
Right.
I'll get out there with them and get on the floats and everything like that. I enjoy the beach. Yeah, you know, it's every year. It's kind of, we go to Fort Walton Beach area, but we've been to Destin, been to Gulf Shores and everything. Just love that whole what's it called, the Emerald Coast, you know. But thing about it is, it's just like you go for a vacation. It's like we get down there and it seemed like the days pass sort of fast.
Yeah.
Time to load up and come back home again. But I guess that's the way vacation is. But anyway, hope everybody this summer gets to enjoy some time. What do you like to do, Fred?
Like going to the beach.
You do too?
Enjoy that. Lord willing, hope to go home to Canada, see family. Haven't been able to do that for 3 years because of COVID.
Usually try to wait till January or February to do that, right?
No. I wait until it gets really steamy hot here in July, and then I go to where it's cool.
Yeah.
The COVID emergency is still going on, Fred. You know that, right? So is Canada's Trudeau got the message that it's over, the pandemic's over?
Yes, thankfully he did. I think he was driven by tourism dollars.
You know what's funny? What I was going to say, and then we'll move on to the depressing news of the day coming up momentarily if you're waiting for that. But not every other year, maybe you guys have had this conversation before in your families when you go do a big family vacation. You know, kids, grandkids, everything like that. We talk about should we do a, quote, educational vacation trip. In other words, you know.
Go learn something.
Yes, go learn something. Be, you know, have your mind stimulated. Learn about history or whatever like that. But then we do that for about a week, and then we go, No.
We're done. Back to the beach.
You talk about taking a bunch of kids and grandkids on a, quote, educational vacation. That is not a vacation. That's work.
Yes.
That's an ordeal.
That's herding cats through the beach.
I think that's why people go to the mountains or they go to the beach, because they just want to chill.
Yes.
Right?
Let the kids run around, scream.
You can do your educational vacation later.
When they get older.
Yeah. And in groups of three.
Yeah, when they get older and want to have nothing to do with it.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed, tell folks how they can watch on the internet if they want to see.
Well, you have two options, folks. You can go to Facebook Live and you can search for Today's Issues. That's the name of the show. Click through and you can watch the live video stream for this program. And most of our talk radio programs do have a live video stream. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net. It's very easy to set up an account, and not only would you be able to watch us do radio, but there's a lot of great content available, video content, to get informed and equipped.
Ray, let me ask you this. Where are you in your Bible reading?
Oh, today we're in the Gospel of John. We graduated from 2 Kings and hopped into the Gospel of John. We went from the white pages that people don't read very much, and John may be the greatest of all the Gospels. So today we're in John chapter 9, the healing of the man born blind, and then John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. So having a wonderful time. Wonderful.
Now,
time.
For those who don't know, most people do know who listen to this show, you're doing a daily video reading of the scripture, started in January, going to finish in December. And the goal was to complete the whole Bible.
Right.
Now, are you on track?
We're 100% on track. And Tim, I got to say, special shout out to all of our AFR listeners. Not a week goes by now that people don't write me notes and say, hey, I was listening to Today's Issues and heard Tim Redd ask you about the Bible reading. And so a lot of the AFR family have joined with us. And if you want to watch those videos, just surf on over to keepbelieving.com. And every morning at 7 a.m., we post the new video with that day's Bible reading. So come and join us, folks, at keepbelieving.com. And this week, we're in the Gospel of John and having a blast.
Amen. Amen. All right, Fred, what's your first story to talk about today?
Well, our first story, it's a story of tragedy, but also of a lot of unknowns. Learned about this early last evening over Washington, D.C. yesterday. We have a video on our site, American Family News, AFN.net. The video opens with a couple, and they're playing a song. They're sitting, it looks like, on their living room sofa. And all of a sudden, there's a sonic boom. And that's how the story unveils. And if you happened to be in Washington, D.C. yesterday, there was a sonic boom. You can imagine that scared a lot of people. Here's what we now know. F-16s were scrambled out of F-16 fighter jets were scrambled out of Nellis Air Force Base when a plane, we now know it's a Cessna Citation, was detected over restricted airspace,
yeah,
over Washington, D.C. Here's what we know at this moment. This Cessna Citation had taken off from Elizabethtown, Tennessee, Sunday afternoon, was headed to Long Island's MacArthur Airport. And here's where it starts to get foggy. Inexplicably, the plane turned around over New York's Long Island and flew a straight path back over D.C. The fighter jets, this has happened a few times before, you know, somebody in a Cessna flies into that airspace and, you know, they just got lost or whatever, and the fighter jets go up, escort them, and away. But what happened this time is that the fighter jets could not communicate with anybody on board that Cessna Citation, which is a small jet, passenger jet. And so they put some flares across the nose, the fighter jets did, and still no communication. Sadly, what happened to this Citation jet, I believe at least four people on board, as far as we know, it crashed in some mountains in a more remote area of Virginia. I wish we knew more than that.
Yeah.
But that's all we know at this point.
So it was a jet, not a plane.
It wasn't a little prop.
Right.
It was a Cessna Citation jet. It's a two-engine, maybe sits about six people.
Okay, you remember about, 15 years ago or so, maybe longer,
mm-hmm,
Payne Stewart, the professional golfer.
Golfer, yes.
You remember his jet Also had, I think, four people aboard.
Mm-hmm.
I think they took off from South Carolina or Florida,
mm-hmm.
and they crashed in North Dakota.
I think it was a field in South Dakota.
And what had happened was I think carbon monoxide, is that what it would be, invaded the cabin,
mm-hmm.
and caused the passengers to go to sleep, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe they were passed away before they ever crashed. But that's what happened.
Yeah.
And same thing. The jets went up and tried to, you know, couldn't anyway. So I guess that's going to be the number one theory, at least right now. All of them would have been unconscious, right?
Yeah, but the bizarre thing is that they go up and they're over New York, but it turns and goes back. The plane that the incident you're talking about 15 years ago, it ran out of gas. It kept on the straight line and ran out of gas. What I can't understand at this point, and what everything I've been reading this morning, no one can explain why that Cessna Citation got up to New York and then turned
right
and headed back down over
without,
DC.
In other words, without reporting a problem.
Without reporting a problem.
So you would think – you were a pilot in the Canadian Air Force, right?
Yes.
So right. So you understand these kind of things. I'm just doing a little bit of guesswork here. But it would be understandable if the pilots, you know, radioed in to a tower and said, we're having problems, we're turning back.
Yes.
But there wasn't anything like that. And
no.
They don't know why, if they were having problems breathing, why the pilot would not have radioed
right.
that
yeah.
as he was turning it around.
Well, I bet that sonic boom did scare a lot of people, though. Think about that in the Metro DC area.
Yes.
You're thinking, why? First thing your thought is, this is a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's an explosion.
Somewhere.
Blew something up.
Somewhere. But, that's a very sad story for those families. Elizabethtown, Tennessee, I think it's right outside of Knoxville. I think I've spoken there before a few years back. I think Elizabethtown. Look up Elizabethtown. I think it's right outside of Knoxville. All right, next story, Fred.
Yeah, very sad. Well, we've been talking when you're away, Tim. We were talking about this probably before you left on vacation. And we're still talking about corporate America, its embrace of the LGBTQ and now Pride Month activities. But I am seeing, get your comments in this, I'm seeing a backlash mm-hmm. this year like I've never seen before. I mean,
yeah.
Corporations like Target, other major chains.
Bud Light. Get your Bud Light.
Yes.
Or not.
And yes. And others.
That's what they do at ball games. That's why I'm saying that.
The LA Dodgers story.
Yeah.
So we've got all of this going on. But a lot of these corporations are not backing down at this point. There's a story this morning. Target and Bud Light have been pulled away from this year's Pride celebrations. Target is a platinum sponsor of New York City Pride, which requires a $175,000 donation. And Bud Light's parent, Anheuser-Busch, sponsoring Pride celebrations in Chicago, San Francisco, Charlotte, and elsewhere. Many other of these big companies, PepsiCo, Starbucks, General Motors, others, are all continuing on this. So this is, well, as I say, I think the big news this year is the backlash against this. Target tried to back away from it a little bit, hide its display,
right.
its clothing displays. But then they got backlash from the LGBTQ community. So, and same story with the LA Dodgers. So this is going on. Of course, we dealt last week with Chick-fil-A and the news, although apparently it was old news, they have a vice president
yeah.
of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Let me talk about that for just a minute.
Sure.
Chick-fil-A, yeah. for example. I mean, all right, so. I feel bad. You know who I feel bad for? Really bad for? Is the Chick-fil-A franchise owners.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you a story yep. about that.
Ray, yep. you go first and then yep. Fred.
You look, these franchise owners are at the mercy of the home office.
Yes.
And it's the people in the home office, whoever's up there in leadership who have gone woke, gone weak on this. The local franchisees have to go along with whatever's being done at the home office. And I do feel sorry for them because they got to answer questions
right.
about a policy that
right.
did not originate with
right.
them.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Fred?
Well, at our newsroom story meeting this morning, we were given an account of a franchise owner who says 95% of the franchise owners, number one, probably don't even know about this until it came out in the news last week, and certainly don't support what the corporate office is doing.
Right. No, I would say I know several franchise owners for Chick-fil-A. Almost all of them are Christians.
Yes. Right.
Well, no, they all are that I know, and conservatives, and they don't agree with this. And it's terrible for the Chick-fil-A Corporation in Atlanta to put their franchise owners in this kind of predicament. It's terrible. Now, I will say this. As far as I know, Chick-fil-A only announced they've hired a, what do you call this, diversity?
Equity and inclusion.
He's like a vice president of or director of something.
Okay. So that is the woke ideology. That's what announcing that Chick-fil-A corporate in Atlanta announcing that to the world is saying we agree with this.
Right. Okay. Now, that was about 2 years ago.
That they hired this guy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, why is it now just getting attention?
It somehow leaked. Mm-hmm. It leaked last week.
Okay. Here's what my question would be. How is that going to manifest itself? That to me has not been Chick-fil-A has not done nothing that I can see in the last year or two that would be in your face type promotion of LGBTQ, for example, like Target has done. Mm-hmm. Now, Chick-fil-A corporate did a couple of years ago. You remember we talked about this. They announced they were no longer going to donate to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as one of their charities. That was a sign to me that there's some wokesters that have been hired at Chick-fil-A. And then the Chick-fil-A chairman or CEO, Dan Cathy, who's the son of Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A, that most people are familiar with that story. But I saw, what's his name, Dan?
Dan Cathy
on a video during the Black Lives Matter movement.
We played that again last week.
Did you?
Yes.
Getting down on his knees saying white people should shine black people's shoes.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Anyway, I do feel bad for the Chick-fil-A franchise owners, for the corporate to put them in this position. Now back to Target for just a minute. Target is hemorrhaging stock value.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about their sales yet. Imagine their sales will reflect a loss too, Ray, in the next quarter. But they went way too far with this promotion. They've always been woke. You remember a few years ago, we had the largest response to a petition we've ever done when Target announced they were letting men go into women's restrooms.
Right.
Remember that? And changing areas.
Right.
Yep. Remember that? There was a huge backlash. I mean, we have 1.5 million families sign that.
Well, we had 1.5 million eventually, but we had 1 million, I forget, within, I don't know, it was like 2 weeks. It was something crazy. I did the best I could to search for the fastest boycott petition to 1 million. And as far as I could tell, that was the fastest ever.
At that time.
Yeah, up to that point. It was 2016.
Well, Walker and I went to Minneapolis and met with Target twice to deliver them the petitions of people who were saying we're not going to shop at Target anymore until they change this policy. Well, they've only gotten worse. Quite frankly, they were rattled because they got a lot of bad publicity, and the stock value did at that time drop 10%, I think. So, I mean, we did have an impact for a few months, but it's hard to sustain an impact against a behemoth like Target, probably the second largest retailer in America outside of Walmart, I would guess. Target would be number two, number three right in there. I don't know who else would be number two. But anyway... Now they're getting hit even worse with the, because they put those, it's hard to even talk about this stuff without you have to be sensitive to people listening to us right now who may have children in the car.
Right.
And also just to talk about this, Ray, is just disgusting.
Yeah.
What Target did here, they put at the front of their stores, do you know what I'm talking about? How do you want to describe it, Ray? Just propaganda.
They took the Pride stuff and they put it up front.
Right.
So that when you walked into the store, it's right in your face, right? So they were just by their placement, Tim, they were sending a message. This is like woke on steroids.
Right.
Well, it was also what was in those displays.
Right.
One of them was they had bathing suits for quote unquote transgender women, which are men who declare themselves to be women. They want to wear a woman's bathing suit. Now, here's the part that I'm trying to be sensitive.
Right. It's hard to describe.
In describing it. But the way the bathing suit is cut allows the man to tuck a certain something so that it gives more of the appearance of being a woman in a bathing suit. And then they also had a fair amount of the Pride merchandise, which was targeted to children. You know, so...
Pun intended.
Yes, right. No pun intended.
Targeted.
So I think right at this point, I think that seems to be where most people are drawing the line. I don't foresee Target or Bud Light or any of these big corporations. They will continue to sponsor Pride Month activities. But people are getting angry at the transgender angle of this and especially pushing it towards children.
Children.
Yeah. That seems to be where people are saying, no, this is too far.
And it didn't help that the creator of this for Target was a Satanist.
Yes, some of the...
An avowed Satanist.
Yes. Right.
So that cherry on top.
Some of the the merchandise was designed by a man in the UK who has a business designing women and children's clothing. And he's an avowed Satanist.
Yeah.
And said, Satan honors pronouns.
Well,
I mean, it's...
I'll just say this. Listen, you can't boycott the world. Oh, I guess you can. You can move to live off the land.
Be Amish.
Live off the land. And, you know, but for all practical purposes, you know, the way Americans live, you can't boycott everything that's woke. But I think in this case, there's two things. One is you have a priority list. All right. And for me, I'm not going to, we don't even have a Target in Tupelo, but I'm not going to, Target is wicked.
Yes.
Okay. With 5 stars
yes.
on the wicked scale. All right. Can you have stars on a scale? Anyway. You get the idea. They are the worst of the worst. Target, I'm talking about. Now, secondly, I'm not going in. I'm not going. Second, for me, at Nike. I'm not going to buy Nike. Nike went with Colin Kaepernick. They hate he hates America. They said he's a champion of ours. We want to support him. Remember when that happened?
Yeah.
And Nike's done a lot of things. Now, do I go down and, you know, I'm still friends with people who might buy something Nike.
Right.
Okay. I'm saying they're on my list. So we all have our personal list, but right. I would say Target should be on everybody's list.
Right.
Right. Everybody, you can shop somewhere else besides Target.
Right.
And like you said, Ed, I like this. You came up with this idea a couple of years ago. What we can do, folks, is buy from local mom and pop stores
as much as possible.
As much as possible, support your local mom and pop stores in your community because they're not going to be into all this woke garbage. And you know what I'm saying?
They got to explain themselves to their customers.
Yeah, they're just not. And they right, and they just want to do business and not get into political agendas.
Right.
Right. So shop local. That is one answer to what we're facing. Now we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed, Fred, and Ray, thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Before moving on, we're talking about these woke companies, and especially Target, the national retail chain, just is, I don't know how to say it, folks, they're just wicked. These, I'm talking about the people who are making decisions at the top, and the decisions they're making are supporting evil. Ed, am I overstating that?
No, absolutely. And you have to, in making that characterization of a store like Target, you have to look at what, if they are pushing an ideology, and this is what we discussed last week on the show. If you make widgets, sell widgets, okay? That's to me, that's your job as a company or a corporation. You're there to make money. But now ideology and pushing ideology has come right up there with making money. I guess they think if they push this ideology, eventually they will capture a bigger customer base. It's an investment. But you have to look at what ideology a company is pushing beyond selling widgets. And Target has been pushing the LGBTQ agenda for really for a decade and a half, maybe two decades. They're based in Minneapolis, very liberal environment. And when they announced in 2016, they bragged about the fact that men were going to be allowed to use women's restrooms and dressing areas. And so other companies were doing that, but Target bragged about it, which is what triggered the boycott in 2016.
Right. Next story, Fred.
Well, still related to Target, we wanted to mention this. It's not only LGBTQ. There is a story on Fox News this morning. Target has a nonprofit foundation, which is still run by Target officials, funded a grantee pushing to shut down and give away U.S. sovereign land, such as Mount Rushmore, believing it to be, quote, an international symbol of white supremacy, and to demilitarize what they call the violent U.S. military. So it's not just, when it comes to Target, it's not just LGBTQ. It's also their
anti-Americanism.
The whole
that
white
they're funding.
Yes.
Funding groups that promote anti-Americanism.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Just be aware
now,
of that.
Fred, what do they want to do to Mount Rushmore?
They want to put a Target sign up there above Mount Rushmore.
They want it shut down.
Yeah.
They want it shut down as a symbol of white supremacy.
Okay, let me separate funny from serious. Yeah. I was kidding around. You're being serious.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. They want to do what?
This Target gives money through its foundation to an organization. So there's one point of separation, one step of separation here. Target, though, is giving money to a very radical organization. This is the organization that says that Mount Rushmore is a symbol of white supremacy and should be shut down. Shouldn't be a national monument.
But that's just Target. If they give donations to anybody, they're given to liberal, very liberal, quote, progressive groups.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Bud Light, I read where Bud Light, this may be a permanent mark on them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be able to come back. At least the Bud Light. I mean, Anheuser-Busch. There's other products.
Yeah, sure.
But Bud Light. I don't see them coming back from this.
Well, here's what I read. Ray, you can comment on this if you want to. You're a Bud Light man, right, Ray?
Well, I was until this.
I just see it there at the can there behind you on your screen.
That's right. I've gone from Bud Light to Diet Pepsi.
You're drinking a little already, though, I got to tell you.
That's right.
I read where Bud Light may not, this may be permanent because they've lost so much business that, this is what I read, that stores, I guess national chain or whatever, grocery stores, they have space on their shelves,
right?
Determined by sales. So if you get your product on the shelf and it doesn't move, then they're going to take that off and replace it with something else,
right?
And as well known as Bud Light has been over the decades, they're saying now that because of the lack of sales, they're about to lose their place on the shelves and to be replaced by other beers.
Mm-hmm.
So did you read this, Ray?
I did. And look, this is true of all the commodities, not just beer, but all the commodities in the supermarkets. And in these convenience stores, shelf space is at a premium because a store only has so much space available. So if Bud Light loses their, quote, shelf space and it goes to Coors Light or whatever the other brands are, if they lose it, then they can't assume they're going to be able to come back and get that shelf space back again. So they're in a real pickle. And let's just make the point. This is a self-caused problem. Bud Light is in this mess because of terrible corporate decisions.
And especially in these small convenience stores, people who are going to buy beer are going to go to the store on the corner.
Sure.
But prior to this hullabaloo, because they're going to get their Bud Light for the weekend.
Right, right.
But if people aren't buying Bud Light, they might not go to the convenience store. And when you go to a convenience store, you don't usually just buy one product. You buy a bag of chips, you buy this,
sure,
blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So these convenience stores are going, well, if people aren't buying the Bud Light, we need to attract people into the store with a product they will buy. So, mm-hmm. Listen, the reputation may be at this point be so damaged. You know, because I see memes, jokes all the time. I went to the Napa store to buy some tranny fluid, and the guy gave me a case of Bud Light. Okay? It's become known as tranny fluid.
Right.
Okay? That's what people are mocking Bud Light about, and I'm not sure how you scrub that stain off your brand.
Let me say one other thing about this, and then we'll move on. Because I know a lot of people are frustrated by all this LGBTQ stuff in your face, and it's everywhere. Almost every commercial now in June is some company, you know, with the rainbow and pride and all this. Anyway, let me tell you something though. This backlash against Bud Light and Target in particular, and some other brands, but those in particular, that was organic. It wasn't manufactured by a group like American Family Association. I say manufactured, you know, promoted just by one group or this group or that group. This thing came out of a reaction by a large segment of the American public, general public. And let me tell you something. It has to have gotten the attention of in corporate boardrooms all over the country who are bringing in their HR people or their marketing people. And they're saying, listen, I know, you know, whatever you got to do, we got to have a pride month or whatever like this, but don't you dare get us into this Bud Light Target mess.
Right.
So if you need to dial it back or you need to tell us what you're planning on doing before you implement it, they're just not going to give them carte blanche anymore because of the serious. Listen, these companies have investors.
Mm-hmm.
They have stockholders.
Yes.
And the Target was just downgraded mm-hmm. by one of those big New York stockbroker firms. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This backlash, I think, is going to, who knows, it's going to slow down a lot of this stuff, I think, at least temporarily. Hopefully, you would think it would be a turning point back, but I don't know. That remains to be seen. I guess some of this stuff is a matter of degree. Like we said, Target being the worst.
Yes.
And Bud Light, again, whoever thought it was a good idea at Bud Light, who sells to rednecks and country boys and and country music fans and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Blue collar folks, which that's their market. And they thought, man, you know what would be a good idea to appeal to those people? Why don't we put a transvestite on our beer can? Why don't we do that? Who's with me on that one, guys? Everybody raises their hand. Sounds like a good idea to me. Let's go for it.
Huh? Well, there's going to be going down in advertising and corporate marketing decision right. history.
Right.
There's going to be new Coke. Y'all remember that debacle, whatever it was 20 years ago. They said, hey, let's take the number one top-selling Coke in the world, and we're going to replace it with a whole new thing. That'll catch on. And then I think there's going to be this Bud Light thing.
Yeah.
Those will be the two people's heads have to roll at Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the show. I'm Tim with Ed, Fred, and Ray. Thank you for listening. Next story, Fred.
Well, along the same line, but we've done.
We beat this horse, Fred.
Almost.
You got another same line?
No, this is more of a good news story.
Okay, good.
I think. You know, the military has been telling us how they're down in recruiting numbers.
Yes, yes. Woefully down.
Woefully down.
25%, right?
All right. I'm using that as a backdrop to this next story because I'm wondering if. All right, so I'll preface this. Nellis Air Force Base, Nevada.
Did you say Dulles?
Nellis.
Nellis.
Nellis. Air Force Base.
In Nevada.
They had planned to have a drag show on base to celebrate Pride Month.
You're not talking about cars.
No. No. The Air Force officials had approved this, and then there was breaking news that the Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, said, ain't no way that's going to happen. They canceled it.
That was surprising.
U.S. Navy has taken down posts celebrating LGBTQ and Pride Month on social media, including rainbow banners that read Pride. So you have, what's going on? I mean, the Biden administration's all in on Pride and LGBTQ, but what's going on in our military?
Has there been any explanation for this about face?
They're shutting this down. I read some quotes from General Milley that say there ain't no way this is happening on our bases.
We're not having drag queen shows on military bases. That was even a step too far for Milley.
Yes.
For who is the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's a general, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was there during Trump years.
Yes.
Years. Well, yeah. You have to figure that we do this, at least I have. I've talked to people that I know who are former military, okay? And I ask them, we probably all done this on a personal basis, person to person. Why'd you get out? Would you recommend that your sons, daughters join the military? No. And it's all this woke stuff. So if we're doing it, I have to believe that Mark Milley is doing the same thing. And Austin, they are asking people, why do you think, I want you to be honest, why do you think recruiting's down? And I'm sure there's a number of things.
And it reflects on them.
And it's reflecting on them. They can't get the people in to the military to fulfill its functions. And so maybe they're starting to realize that they're driving away qualified people.
Yes.
And we've got to try to reel this back in.
Yeah. Well, that's some good news right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what happened was they were going to have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense both evidently stepped in and said, no.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. And what was the other, the Navy?
It was the Navy, yes. The Navy, on their websites, on their social media sites, had celebrating LGBTQ Pride Month, rainbow banners that read Pride, et cetera.
They pulled them down?
They're all gone.
They lasted a day or whatever. Yep. I tell you another thing is, I think most Americans are fair-minded, and you sit there and you go, if you're in the military and you're in a position of authority, let's say a base commander, is that what you would call? Mm-hmm. Anyway, which they have a lot of autonomy, right?
Yes.
Okay, in all branches of the military. But you have to say, if we're going to put up a pride flag, okay, for Pride Month, then how can we say no to any group that wants to put up their own banner or their own flag on our military base for a month? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be able to?
Because it's a government.
The American flag covers every single person in this country.
Right.
Yeah.
Gay, straight, whatever. The American flag is our flag of unity. It's our flag of our country. You don't need a separate flag for every group of people who want to celebrate their lifestyle or their skin color or their ethnicity or their dietary choices. Or I just made that one up. You know what I'm saying? We can't put flags up for everybody. So they ought to say no flags for anybody except the American flag. Now, if you want, I've seen POWs. I've seen that before, but that's directly connected to service to our country in the military.
Right.
Okay, so I'm just saying, I think a lot of these military higher-ups who don't agree with the woke stuff but are afraid to say so because they'll be canceled or somebody, this group or that group will go after them, I think they're, some of them are saying, listen, we're not putting this stuff up because we'll go down that road, it'll lead to what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Where everybody has to have their month, or everybody has to have their day. So, all right, Fred, next story.
Breaking news. I think we all appreciate Senator Tim Scott, South Carolina.
Who's been on this show.
He's been on this show.
And he was happy to be here. Remember that?
Yep, he's running for president.
Right. Senator from South Carolina.
Yep. Very conservative. All right. So put him up there on the right.
Yeah.
On the left, we're going to put The View. Are we familiar with The View program?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's fair balance.
Some would say, very brave man, Tim Scott. I'm not sure if he's still there, but we're going to play you a little bit of Tim Scott this morning.
Because he was criticized by Joy Behar and several others on The View because they said he doesn't understand systemic racism. a black senator from South Carolina
doesn't understand racism.
Right, right. Who, by the way, let me just toss this in. Several years ago, he talked about his own testimony. Yes. He says, I understand racism. He said, I get pulled over driving all the time, he said.
Yeah.
And he
that was in the past, right?
That was in – and I think it was – it's even when he first –
pulled over for being black?
Well, that was what he was saying. He said, listen, I don't – I drive like everybody else, but I've been pulled over. Anyway, so he – if there is some racism, he does understand it.
Yes. But he's been accused of not understanding.
Yes.
All right.
By a white lady.
So here, I haven't heard this yet. Steve Jordahl just wanted to give us a little taste of what Tim Scott faced this morning when he appeared on The View. Cut 11.
I'm the exception, right? You're the exception. Maybe even Miss Whoopi Goldberg is the exception.
But
we are not the rule. And so when it comes to racial inequality, it persists. And you have indicated that you don't believe in systemic racism. What is your definition of systemic racism?
Let me answer the question that you've answered.
Or does it even exist in your mind?
Let me answer the question this way. One of the things I think about, and one of the reasons why I'm on the show, is because of the comments that were made, frankly, on this show, that the only way for a young African-American kid to be successful in this country is to be the exception and not the rule. That is a dangerous, offensive, disgusting message to send to our young people today, that the only way to succeed is by being the exception. I will tell you that if my life is the exception, I can't imagine. But it's not, actually.
It's been 114 years.
Yeah, so the fact of the matter is we've had an African-American president, African-American vice president. We've had two African-Americans to be secretaries of the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just part of his conversation. Good for him.
I want to go back and watch
he's
that.
I think there's four people who host that show. Only one of them's a conservative, or maybe it's
there's more. I think there's five. I think
five, and you got one token conservative over there.
Yes,
but good, you know, good for him to go on and get his message out. As you say, he's announced he's running for president. I look forward to hearing some of his other comments. We don't have time to play them all.
Yeah,
right now. But Senator Tim Scott of, you know, the systemic racism argument, Ray.
Right.
That is a card to play that can never be defeated.
Right. Because they don't define it. You don't, when you ask them, are there people with racist ideas and feelings in America? Yes, of course. Spread all the way across the spectrum of American humanity. Can you find racism in America? Yes. What does systemic racism even mean? When you push people for a definition, people like Whoopi Goldberg or Joy Behar, they cannot answer that. It's a slogan, and because it's a slogan, it's not really an idea. It can never be defeated. It can never be answered. It's just, you just throw it up against people, and there is no answer to that because there's no clear definition.
I'll give you a definition of what it actually is. And in the Jim Crow South, when you have laws that say black people are not allowed to, and you have the system around it upholding those laws.
Right.
So black people cannot go to white restaurants. Black people cannot use the water fountain. Black people cannot vote. That's systemic racism. The system chooses a racial group and says, you can't. You can't participate. That's been gone. That has been gone. That does not exist. I like what Ben Shapiro says. Ben Shapiro, when he is on college campus and is talking to people about this issue, he says, give me an example, and if it's a real systemic racist problem, if you went to your bank and the bank said, we don't loan money to black people, okay? Ben Shapiro said,
that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And he said, if that does happen, I'll stand with you. I'll go with you. I'll fund, you know, the court case or whatever. But that's what systemic racism is. And that doesn't exist in this country. There are laws. You get sued in a heartbeat if you tell someone you can't come in here because you're black.
Did you notice the hostess there said, whoever was speaking, that three or four people talking there were the exception?
Well, that was the, I forget the black lady.
Sonny Hostin?
Yeah, I think that's her.
But she said, we're the exception.
Yes.
And then he listed off some pretty big names that had accomplished a lot. Obama being a two-time elected president, African-American, and some other examples. Well, I think what Tim Scott was saying was, which I believe to be true, which quite frankly, I think the majority of, I haven't surveyed them, black folks believe to be true. Every American has opportunity now. Opportunity doesn't mean you're going to achieve or right. be successful. It just means that we all have the same opportunities to be successful, to achieve things in our country. Educational opportunities, job opportunities. There is no systemic racism any longer. There was, as you cite, right. the Jim Crow era, and obviously prior to that in our country's history. But today, in today's world, there are the opportunity for any and everyone to succeed is there, and that's undeniable. That's just undeniable. Look. The most successful, wealthiest woman in America is Oprah Winfrey, who, you know, she's probably, is she in her 60s now, mid-60s, something?
Probably.
Anyway, there you go. There's we could name example after example after example. But if there were systemic racism problems in America today, like what they're talking about, then you would see more lawsuits.
Right.
Being lost by companies and businesses and schools and sports teams or whatever because of systemic racism. It's not there. Systemic means that it's so ingrained that it's obvious. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's just not true. Any longer. Go ahead, Fred.
All right. Just a few days ago at the U.S.
I tell you what, there's systemic. I shouldn't joke about that, but I started it anyway. The NBA. You talk about somebody denying. You see, there's very few white people playing in the NBA.
So you think that's systemic?
I think it's systemic. It's systemic.
You're going with that being the reason.
Oh. It's systemic that they can't jump. That's what the movie said, right?
That's yeah. Right. That was no, the whole movie about that.
Actually, the best player arguably in the NBA right now is a guy from Serbia. Jokic? From Denver. That guy's amazing. Anyway, he looks like a drill sergeant with his crew cut. But anyway. All right, Fred, next. Well, look at there. We're out of time.
We're out of time. But Steve is coming.
But Steve you is were gonna on make, the way.
Now, were you? Was it you that you were on your what? You were destined for the NBA, right? But you blew out your knee or something. Is that what happened, Ed?
Yeah, something grew like that. That's right. I grew like 4 inches over the summer, and I did. I had problems with my knees because of that, and I think that derailed my NBA career.
Is that your story? And your
that's right. Who knows what to it. Heights I would have been headed for.
I like the word heights. Oh, yeah. I like that play on that.
Yeah, the heights.
All right, we're going to be back in 5 minutes on today's issues. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Ray. So we will be here. No, Steve Jordahl. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.